You are listening to Fateless Brewing, a Magic the Gathering podcast for the rogue deck builder. Each week, we design new decks in Modern and Pioneer. We put our creations to the test and share our findings on the air. Coming up on the brew session, the cat's out of the bag on Asiko's Chariot, a powerful vehicle that brings its own crew. But things get crazy when you pair this with Saheeli Rai. It's cat combo like you've never seen it before on episode 15 of Kaldheim Season. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Faithless Brewing Podcast. I am David Robertson, joined as always by Damon Alexander out of Seattle. Damon, how are things in the rainy city of the Northwest?
Hey. Well, it's not always so rainy. Things are looking up here. My plants are flourishing. You can see the mountains. Things are going well.
Excellent. And we are joined as always by the CEO of the Faithless Brewing Podcast. He is Cave Dan Online, Daniel Schriever. What is poppin'?
Hey. How are you, David? Long time no see.
I'm well. Surviving. Spring is in the air in Minnesota. And, we'll see what happens. The trial for the police officer that killed George Floyd starts soon, so the city is kind of on edge. There's all kinds of security, et cetera, flooding into the city. So everyone's hoping, the vaccines are starting to come out. The weather's starting to be nice. We're hoping that our city can just get back to normal and we don't have to have a 9 o'clock curfew or have multiple minority-owned businesses burned to the ground, et cetera, et cetera. So fingers crossed that everything goes smoothly there and justice is served, but until now, we just have to wait anxiously and see what's next.
Yeah, I saw this meme that really just made me stop my tracks for a day. It was that astronaut looking at the moon meme, but it was like the first astronaut's like, wait, it's March? And the second astronaut with the gun behind him was like, always has been. Like, ah, jeez. Has that really been a whole year?
It is a one-year anniversary from the 15 days to stop the spread, so... Yeah. If you can count to 500,000, you know how badly that went.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a little bit of business to get to here. Just a quick reminder that our show is now being divided up into 2-hour-long shows. This would be the second show you hear this week, released hopefully on Sunday. Our sister show on Friday took a look at our In Search for Greatness brews and some cool picks of the week. This week, we want to talk a little bit about our card of the week. We're very excited to talk about Asiko's Chariot. Damon, why don't you walk us through this card out of Kaldheim, and let's talk about it.
Yeah, so Asiko's Chariot, or however you say that name, is 3 and a green for a 4/4 legendary artifact vehicle. On ETB, you create 2/2 green cat creature tokens. Whenever Asiko's Chariot attacks, create a token that's a copy of target token you control. And lastly, crew 4. So that is actually just what the cats add up to. So it kind of comes pre-prepared with its own crew. Of course, you can swap the crews in or out if your crew happens to, get pushed off a cliff or whatever. So first quick comment, also this card is legendary, so multiples will give you more cats, but not more chariots. Secondly, the attack figure targets the token, and so unlike populate, it can be fizzled by the token being killed. The attack trigger copies any token, and so if you have a Jace the Mind Mage or whatever, you can copy those tokens, or food or clues or any other things that you have on the battlefield. Lastly, the tokens are green cats, and so if you benefit from having green creatures or cats around or green cats around, it's time to start thinking about this chariot. So, where does this take you guys?
Well, it makes two cats. I'm a big cat lover myself. You've probably heard them on the podcast. They don't like being shut out of the recording studios. Always happy to see two little kitties crewing up for a ride. I just love how this is so many bodies. And a lot of that is tied up in the vehicle half. But Vehicles are just like a really interesting card type, and every time I try to talk myself into like, oh, maybe I should give this vehicle a try, you always ended up at a place where it's like, oh, vehicles are kind of high risk, they don't impact the board that turn, maybe you'll not have creatures to crew it, or maybe you know, it just won't work out. So all the benefits you thought you were going to get of having a vehicle ended up being liabilities instead. And the chariot just lets you have it both ways. I mean, you get the vehicle and you get your crew. It's almost like you get an 8/8 for 4 mana spread across 3 bodies.
Yeah, I sort of facetiously compared it to the Black Titan, Grave Titan, when we spoiled it. It is like a mini Grave Titan. It's a 4-4 for 4 that comes into play and makes 2/2s, and then every turn it attacks and gives you another 2/2, possibly. To Dan's point about bodies, I think it's just an exceedingly like good, fair card. If you think about this card stabilizing against red, you play it, they basically can't even attack into it, or if they do, you crew, kill their creature, and absorb a burn spell, and you're left with 2/2, so it's almost like a 3-for-1 or something like that. It also is a card that's like pseudo-resistant to Wrath, if you think about it that way. You play it, they Supreme Verdict. If you play another card, all of a sudden you attack, or another chariot, you attack and make another creature. So yeah, there's just a lot of angles to this that aren't immediately obvious. It's much better than like a 4-4 that just would attack every turn and make a 2-2.
Yeah, I didn't even mention the attack trigger. I would be satisfied just with the 4-4 vehicle that brought two cats, but this also gets you free value every time you get a successful attack in. So there's a ton of upside here. Even though it's not exactly a Broodmate Dragon, if you are on the offense, if you're on the front foot, you play this, you get your cats, and then next turn, if you play a follow-up creature that can crew it right away, you're attacking for 8 just off this card. The attack trigger will make another cat. So you're just like way, well, I won't say ahead, but you're putting on a ton of pressure and just building up a huge board all from one card. So the question is, you know, what else does the deck need to be doing in order to make this actually relevant and impactful on the game? Is it a question of just finding the right format for it, finding the right surrounding pieces? Are you supposed to be speeding your game up by accelerating to this, or are you supposed to be kind of slowing the game down, trading resources so that this can come down and just pull you ahead on just raw bodies and material? We are seeing some adoption of this in Pioneer in a couple different places.
Yeah, so the first home is an evolution of what used to be a Luka Agent of Treachery Urien deck in Pioneer and in Standard, really. And then what happened is Transmogrify got printed and Luka just kind of became yesterday's news. And now we can do the same thing for cheaper, really. And it turns out that you want to play with Transmogrify a bunch of token makers along with basically Agent of Treachery as the best thing to get. And along with sideboard cards that you can bring in instead of Agent of Treachery for other matchups. And Eska's Chariot makes not just one token, but 2 tokens, and that gives you a little redundancy on the Transmogrify lines. And meanwhile, is arguably just like a standalone threat that in a low resource game state can take things over on its own.
Yeah, and I have lost this deck before where they made a giant Shark Typhoon token. They had a Fires in play, so they weren't doing anything with their mana. I'd sat their Urien, and I was thinking I was going to win, and it's like, all right, they can attack with a 4-4, make a 2-2, and I'm going to smash them. And so they made like a 6-6 shark, attacked with their stupid cat chariot, and then they had 2 6-6 sharks. And it was like, wow, I mean, that's insane. How am I possibly going to win this game? And every turn they get to attack and do that if I don't kill the chariot, much less the 2 6-6 flyers.
Yeah, it's a bit shocking that a deck like this would splash all the way into a fourth color just for the chariot. But it speaks to a couple things. Like, one is the strength of the Fire's Triome mana base to make this splash pretty doable. And second, it's like, yeah, I mean, the chariot is just so strong on its own. Even when you're like not ready to execute your Transmogrify line, just a chariot is a good play. And you compare that to something like Omen of the Sun, which these decks used to have to play to just get some random soldiers. I mean, that card is terrible. That card is so bad. So you get to play chariot instead. It's just well worth the green splash.
Yeah, and because of Fires, they were already playing 4 of the Triome anyway. So, and they were playing 4 Fabled Passage. So I think they basically just had to play a few of the check lands and then one basic forest. Pretty easy splash. Like you say, to upgrade your card quality that much to change 3 lands is pretty slick.
I do want to just ask you about this card, the Raven's Warning. This is a saga from Kaldheim that I've seen Fires decks pick up as a 4 of, as well as other just like Esper-based Urien decks picking up as a 4 of. Even some Niv decks are playing it. And I don't really get it. Chapter 1 makes a bird, and chapter 2, you like, what do you do? Like gain life or something? In chapter 3, you get to search your sideboard, put a card on top of your deck. So the next turn after that, you can draw your sideboard card. Or if you have like an extra draw in play, which these decks often do, you get your card right away. But that's still like a really, really slow granted effect.
Well, chapter 2 is also a draw. If a flying creature does damage, you draw a card. The cool thing that this deck has is because Transmogrify starts to flip your deck, in game 1, you can find your Coma or Resolute Angel as necessary, if that's the card that you prefer to Agent of Treachery. So you have a lot of control, for instance, against aggro. If you go all the way to the end of your saga, your Raven's Warning completes, you put your Resolute Archangel on top, that is the turn that you can actually put it into play. So that can be the difference between losing and winning, where taking control of their Eidolon of whatever is not that good, but gaining 14 life is maybe great.
Yeah, there's a lot of matchups where Agent of Treachery top end is really not where you want to be. You would much rather have a Coma or Archangel. I think the other thing too is that this card comes down, it makes a 1-1, you gain some life. So first off, this is a good Transmogrify target enabler, kind of like Omen of the Sun. And secondly, because of the way the second trigger works, is it set up to work with the 1-1 flyer it gives you to give you a free look at their hand and draw a card. Looking at their hand lets you know if you're free for Transmogrify line. And so if they're like, oh, I'm not going to kill their bird because I'm going to keep up my Fatal Push so I can counter their Transmogrify, the bird gets in, you see their Fatal Push, you can play accordingly. And if instead they Fatal Push your bird, I think you come out of that exchange feeling pretty good about it.
Well, I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, they can stop the value of chapters 1 and 2 just by killing the bird. So then it's like, okay, you traded 1 for 1, and now you'll get the granted effect eventually, which that's the free part, assuming they use the Fatal Push on the bird, which I think they kind of have to. So I guess it does put you ahead. And maybe that's like the strength of this card that I'm not understanding, is that it puts so much pressure on the opponent that they kind of have to respond just to the bird.
Well, and this deck just has to play fair now. It doesn't have to fairy, so it actually has to play magic. And when you play magic, you have to play cards that interact with your other opponent's cards. And this is a card that does that, so.
Fair enough. That makes sense. All right, Damon, how about this Winota build?
Yeah, so I think we're pretty familiar with Winota decks at this point in time. Winota is a 4-mana 4/4 who, when you attack with a non-human, lets you look at the top 6 and find a human and put it into play tapped and attacking. This then begs the question, well, what are the best non-humans to attack with? What are the best humans to find? And the answer from Pioneer came down to, you want to have a bunch of elves to ramp into it. You want to have Voice of Resurgences and Thopter Engineers, cards like that. And then the best hits are a 1 of Kenrith and a 4 of Angrath's Marauders. And so one card that also generates a bunch of non-humans, in fact, 2 non-human cat tokens even, is Essica's Chariot. And meanwhile, this deck also typically, even if the cats die, this deck has a lot of power lying around. And so it can crew the Chariot with any number of other cards. And I'm not sure exactly which tokens you really want to duplicate if the cats die. Maybe it's just like maybe you have a Voice of Resurgence token. Hard to say. But simply just being 2 non-humans in a well-priced package is kind of what this deck is looking for.
The version we have in front of us is from Twisted Wombat that almost ran the table in Swiss in the Pioneer Championship. I think this player lost in the top 8. And it's also showed up in a challenge in 5-0 prelim. This specific version is maxing out on Thopter Engineer, which creates an artifact creature token and then gives all subsequent artifacts haste. And that's huge with the Chariot. So even just Engineer into Chariot lets you attack with a Chariot right away, getting a trigger. In order to make room for all that stuff, you are giving up some of your exciting lines with like Goblin Rabble Master and Legion War Boss. So neither of those cards appear in this deck. Instead, it's 4 Thopter Engineers and 4 Bonecrusher Giants, which is a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I will say Thopter Engineer is no Whirler Virtuoso. That's the card I thought it was. So thanks for pointing that out, Dan. Yeah, giving the Chariot haste is big game. Yeah, maybe like the Rabble Masters and War Bosses, those are kind of meta cards. Sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're really bad. Bonecrusher, I think it's just, you know, we all thought it was good when it came out, and at this point, that card has become a multi-format all-star.
Yeah, so what we've seen from Winota in Modern is that I think some of the better builds of Winota don't play Marauders. People are kind of torn on this. Marauders is a 7-drop that doubles your damage, so you're never casting this card unless you have Winota and you hit something. So do you want to play cards like that? The cards that only really work when your deck is already getting a successful Winota attacks off? That's an open question. I think we've seen Geist Honored Monk sometimes replacing the Marauders in Modern to better success, but there's not really a Geist Hunter Monk equivalent in Pioneer. Unless you believe in this Magia Bredegar Protector card. All right, so those are two known homes, but David, you have some more ideas, so let's talk through some of the new brews for Escus Chariot.
Yeah, so I had flagged the Thopter Engineer into Essica's Chariot several weeks ago in Discord, but that wasn't enough for a deck. So I was like, oh, that'd be cool. Giving Chariot haste is actually really good. And now instead of adding 8 power, like Dan was saying, you're adding 10 power. But Dan sent a list that he was really interested to try that took advantage of this really cool interaction with Saheeli Rai. And he has a shell here, so it's 9 mana elves. The 3 drops are like Saheeli Rai, Thopter Engineer, Bonecrusher Giant, just as a generically powerful card. 4 Essica's Chariot on 4, and then Regisar Alpha as a 4 of, and 2 Verdurous Gearhulk. So Dan, can you kind of walk us through this interaction and just sort of the sweet lines that this sort of Tamir Saheeli Chariot list has?
Yeah, gotta give a shout out here to Odins from our Discord, who was hyping up this combo, and we were trying to figure out, like, is there a home for this? And I kind of just, like, couldn't get that idea out of my head, so this is what I came back with. How it works, so we know Saheeli can -2 to copy, like, a Felidar Guardian and go infinite that way, but you can actually copy any artifact or creature. What you will get is a copy of that with haste. So what you're going to do is you're going to have Saheeli, let's say you play that on turn 2, play the Chariot on turn 3, you're going to minus Saheeli on the Chariot to make a token copy of a Seeker's Chariot. So now you're getting 2 additional cats. That's cool. You've got 4 cats now. Legend rule says you can't keep both chariots, so we're going to keep the token copy. That one has haste because of Saheeli, and it's ready to be crewed and attack. So crew that one up, attack. Now the chariot attack trigger lets you make another token, and that can copy anything. You can copy a cat, or you can copy the chariot itself, because it is now a token from Saheeli. So what you end up with is, like, essentially 3 chariots in one turn. You end up with 6 cats. The last chariot, the one that you actually keep, will be the token produced by the attack trigger of a Seeker's Chariot, if you're following along. So you'll essentially, you won't deal any damage to them, because a legend rule will kill your attacker. But you will end up with a clean board of 6 cats, 2 of which were tapped for crewing, and an untapped chariot token. So it's just an absurd amount of power. What is that? That's 12 power of cats plus a chariot, so potentially 16 power, threatening to make more cats in future turns. On top of that, yeah, I mean, the engineer line is also pretty exciting. So then it's just a question of, like, figuring out what else is good with Saheeli. You know, I think Registrar Alpha is a pretty cool thing to clone, because the Registrar is already, you know, a 4-4 and a 3-3 haste by itself, but if you happen to copy the Registrar Alpha, now they all have haste. So now it's like you're actually attacking for 14 that turn. You will eventually lose the copy of the Registrar, but you keep the dinosaur. So you keep 10 power and you've dealt 14 just off Saheeli and Registrar Alpha by themselves.
Yeah, this is like the first time somebody looked at Primeval Titan and Field of the Dead. It was like, I gotta make how many 2/2s? And I gotta make even how many more when I attack next? It seems like you've kind of discovered a little variant of that in Pioneer.
Well, yeah, I don't know, like, how good this is going to prove to be. I did, like, an exploratory league. I just couldn't wait. I had to try this out. And I went 2-3, but 2 of the losses were against Lotus Combo, and I just didn't have any sideboard cards. I still almost got there. And then I lost, I went 1-1 against Burn. That was almost directly the result of Mana Confluence. I'd copied the mana base from an older Winota build. The new one that we were just talking about does not play Mana Confluence anymore. They just play more Pathways, which I think is a major upgrade. So if I just had done that instead of playing Mana Confluence, I think I would have come ahead in those matchups. But what was really encouraging was that when I played against Enigmatic Incarnation, I just, like, powered through them. I mean, that's a value-based deck, and my deck produced so many bodies that I just overran them despite all their value. So I do think this is actually worth tweaking out and trying to make it as tuned as possible. I think that Domri Anacarbolas is actually a very good card here, just because you have so many token generators that all of his modes turn out to be really, really good. It's a static +1/+0 to your team. It can fight things, so you want to have, like, incidental removal while still forwarding your A plan. And just being a mana generator lets you go elf into Domri into another elf, or elf into Domri into a 5-drop, which is very important for getting a good start.
Yeah, there's obviously a few cards that could be altered. I know we're playing 22 lands and 2 of the dual land creature cards. And in a deck like this, when you want the first 3 or 4 lands to come into play untapped, you know, Kazandu Mammoth does not actually double as a land in that case. Skipping entire turns of plays is a pretty big ask.
Right, yeah. That didn't work out the way I thought it would. So I would go up to 23 natural lands at least and maybe, you know, figure out some better 2-drop. I was like leaning pretty hard on Elf into 3-drop, and you won't have that every game. So maybe it's just like more Dome Reason, more Herd of Kirin's or something.
So what would you say the draw is to this combo versus like the generic, you know, Winota plus stuff interaction?
I think the Winota builds are, especially the one we just looked at, just folds. Like, if you just stop Winota, the deck doesn't do anything. It's not threatening anymore because they aren't... They could sometimes just get you with Rabble Master. Like, you spend all your time, you leave up your other Gust for Winota. If they're just going to be playing, like, Thopter Engineer, it's like, all right, that resolves. If you don't ever resolve Winota, it looks like I'm on a 10-turn clock.
Yeah. I guess one answer is that your deck is certainly less cold to Grafdigger's Cage. I feel like you're probably roughly, you know, I guess you have Planeswalkers, which are good against sweepers when you amass your big board presence.
Yeah, Cage is solid in Pioneer right now between Enigmatic Incarnation, Rakdos Arcanist, and Winota. Collected Company, these mono green stompy decks are actually pretty popular. So that's something for sure.
And the Sacrifice decks are also playing, the Jund Sacrifice decks are also playing for Collected Company.
Oh, and Citadel. Cage stomps that too.
So, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, good stuff.
Yeah, it's just a super cool looking list, and some of the screenshots you sent, there's just an overwhelming board presence being assembled here.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interactions I didn't even realize until it happened was that, you know, Sahelian Chariot, when you have both in play, you don't have to copy a Chariot, you can copy anything, and then the Chariot can give you a permanent copy of that. So I had like a game where I had those two in play. I played like a Verdurous Gearhulk from my hand, which, you know, gets haste from Thopter Engineer, and then you copy that with Saheeli. For distribute 4 counters, attack, the Chariot can just copy the Gearhulk again, and that's a permanent Gearhulk. So it's just like an insane amount of power can be added to the board when you have these things up and running. So very exciting, and I do like, I guess, impartially answered your question, Damon, I do like how when you have access to blue, you can play Mystical Disputes and other Gusts or whatever you need in the sideboard. Although how to make that actually work while still retaining your creature core is something I'll need to discover this week. All right, so that is a Teemer Saheeli build. We move on to an Abzan colors.
I've been saying that Sylvan Carry Added is one of the best cards in Pioneer, so let's build a deck with Sylvan Carry Added. I've built a bunch of decks that I've had a ton of success with of all different sorts that have been using Sylvan Carry Added. Sylvan Carry Added was one of the highlights of sort of when Modern was good. If you remember, like, Caleb Durward was playing it in a deck that was playing like 4 Siege Rhino, 4 Glorybringer, and was just like 5-0ing every league. This also benefits from that because Asika's Chariot is a 4-mana card. So we don't have to go all in on Mana Elf. We can still play Thoughtseize Fatal Push. So we're playing powerful interaction. Sylvan Carry Added and Wolfful Haven, both reasonable cards to play on 2. And this is basically just playing Asika's Chariot as like just a straight up value card. So like Dan said, every time it comes into play, you're getting 2 cats. So when it comes into play, it gives you 2 cats. We're playing 3 Urion main, 1 Urion side. Every time Urion blinks it, we're getting 2 more cats. Once it's made into a creature, we can Flicker of Faded to protect it for removal, or we can Charming Prince it after combat. Each time we do that, we get more cats. And then with Flicker of Fate, we just have a ton of sort of juicy targets here. So Trial of Ambition, Skyclave Apparition, Oath of Kaya, Llanowar Visionary, 4 Binding of the Old Gods, and 1 Elspeth Conqueror's Death. So this is just sort of like an Abzan mid-range, just like super value pile, and it's hoping that Asika's Chariot is just like going to be a great card, and I think it will be. There are a few extra tokens it can copy in the late game in a pinch. You can make a copy. You can sack your Wolf of Haven to get a wolf. Archon of Sun's Grace is a one-off here. There are a bunch of enchantments that can trigger it. So as those enchantments come into play, you can choose to copy a Pegasus if you don't want to copy a cat for whatever reason. And then we do have 2 Emeria's Call in our mana base. So we do have a lot of mana sources between 33 lands, the 7 mana rampers, and then 3 Llanowar Visionary. And then, of course, the second chapter of Binding of the Old Gods. Every time that happens, you get a land. So it's very reasonable that I think you'll be able to cast Emeria's Call in the late game. So you can copy an angel and get even more value somehow out of your chariot.
So this will be like a little kid Urion deck, for example.
Exactly. This is a little kid Urion deck. Don't think too hard about it. Just every turn, get a 2-for-1 until your opponent eventually just runs out of cards and you start beating the crap out of them with cats.
It's even green-white tokens and just beefy creatures. It's perfect. Yeah, I mean, when you're playing three Urion main and one in the companion zone, you really got to have a lot of exciting blink targets. But I think Chariot can be that. I even go up to the full four copies. I mean, it's 80 cards. We want to see one. Let's just play all four. Like Damon said, if you have to legend roll one, that's not a big deal.
Well, you only want to play so many fours. I think the fourth binding of the old gods or the first archon is probably better than the fourth chariot, but you certainly can play four.
I would actually probably go the opposite direction. I'd say the fourth binding of the old gods is, they're not that great in multiples. They're kind of good if your opponent has like one good high-value target. If they have two high-value targets and you have two binding of the old gods, you're just going to lose. They come out too slowly. They're just like a little bit clunky.
I do wonder if there's like any card that produces a slightly more exciting token. Here we have what, wolves, we have some clues, we have cats, and you mentioned Pegasus, the occasional angel, but those are pretty occasional angels. Like, would you consider something like the Orzhov enchantment, Firja's Retribution, that makes a 4/4 angel token?
You know, I considered it. I just don't think it's worth it. The specific corner case you're playing for is not needed. I mean, I think my generic statement here is that Asika's Chariot is just a generically good card. You don't have to play any other random cards to make it good. I don't think without a bunch of angels, just a 4-mana enchantment make an angel, and then possibly you can tap on the next turn to kill a creature is worthwhile. I don't think it's ever better than Binding of the Old Gods. I think that corner case is really small. And so I don't think you need to do anything special, I guess is what I'm saying. I think Asika's Chariot is just on rate a very powerful card, and just blinking it a bunch of different times and letting it attack and make cats is going to do plenty of work.
I kind of like the line of thought, Dan. I think that if I were going to try this list, I would play at least one of those. Binding the Old Gods, again, there are a lot of board states where it comes down and it kills like nothing that important. Or it just feels like you could have gotten the same for, cheaper with an Oath of Kaya or whatever. And it's one of those board states, it's possible that Firja's Retribution just kind of gives you a little bit more board presence that then quickly multiplies with the Chariots and Urions.
Other tokens that I think are interesting are the Catacomb Sifter, Eldrazi Scion token, because that can be sacked for mana if you're like pinched on mana. Also the Voice of Resurgence token, which the Winota deck, because it has Eldritch Evolution, can unlock that more readily. Whereas here, I guess you probably couldn't unlock the Voice of Resurgence token unless they killed it for you. But it is an interesting thing to copy with a Chariot.
Gosh, too bad we don't have Fractured Identity in any of these formats.
I'm not totally sure what that does, but it does sound sweet.
Exile target non-land and opponent controls. You put a token into play that's a copy of it.
Ooh.
But you'll have to reach to your Canlander or Legacy decks to play it.
So would you be open to swapping the Visionaries out for Catacomb Sisters?
No, I'd rather draw than get a 1-1. I can't imagine a scenario where I'd want the 1-1 over a cat, honestly.
Well, just if you want to play Urion on turn 4, for example.
Yeah, I just think Visionary is better. You have all these mana sources. I want to be able to draw. Visionary is also good at crewing up the Chariot.
Well, so is Catacomb Sifter. I mean, I kind of like it. I think it's worth trying, Dan. The Sifter is a better blocker as a 2/3. The 1/1 is also a good chump blocker. You get to flicker it with Urion and make more kind of a steady stream of 1/1s, which help plug the gaps. If your opponent has like a Rotting Retisaur and you have an Oath of Kaya, you just chump block it for a while. Meanwhile, scrying one on creatures dying is no joke. And in this deck, creatures will probably die a lot because they're all small, crappy ones.
So those are two pioneer builds. If we dip over to modern, David, you have a concept here you've been kicking around.
Yeah, so we just pointed out how powerful Saheeli Rai is with Chariot, but we know that in modern, there's decks that just play Saheeli Rai with Felidar Guardian, and Felidar Guardian is also awesome with Chariot. So why not just add Chariot to the Saheeli Rai list? These lists, for a while, were quote-unquote the final form of the sort of Omnath value pile. Then we all went away from that. I'm sure it's because this deck wasn't playing 28 lands, so it couldn't win just from its mana base. There's no Uro anymore, which is a card that sometimes this deck played. But yeah, I just think as just a normal value play, Seeker's Chariot's going to be awesome. You just outlined a very powerful line with Saheeli Rai, and you just have a bunch of other generic powerful cards to kind of support you there.
Yeah, Omnath crewing the Chariot is nice. I think that everything here makes sense except Remand. I don't like Remands in styles like this. I still just don't get it. Like, why play two random instants in a deck that is otherwise entirely sorcery speed?
Oh, I think Remand is a critical card in this sort of deck.
Why?
Because it buys you time.
Does it, though? I mean, you're trying to curve one into three. Like, why not just play more Arbor Elves?
I think that you need to have the ability to slow your opponent down. And if you have like a one turn window to combo off and your opponent has like a single black mana up to play Fatal Push or something like that, Ramana becomes pretty powerful in that situation. Because again, you kill them. They don't, the card goes back to their hand, you draw a card and they die. So they don't get to recast it.
Also worth noting, because Felidar Guardian is a cat and Omnath is an elemental, we can play Kahira. Kahira is kind of sweet. We have Omnath to generate a bunch of mana, so it's very possible we can put Kahira into play, you know, without too much trouble. Kahira buffing both of the cats from Chariot, or if we make infinite Felidar Guardians and they have a Oriok Champion or something in play, they're all two power now, so we actually beat that as a way to quote-unquote stop our combo. It's actually relevant because Oriok Champion is very commonly played card. so yeah, I think that's actually cool.
Oh, I think you've finally figured out what Kahira's purpose in life is.
And that would be a good reason not to play more Arbor Elves, because that doesn't work with Kahira.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Well, I originally had it, and then I cut, I think, a reman to add an Arbor Elf. So put the third reman back in. Or don't, play. You could play 24 lands.
That's probably about as embarrassing of a deck-building mistake as adding like a Jace the Wielder of Mysteries and Gigantha.
So I think this is actually going to be a sweet deck to play, because Saheeli, you know, is so powerful with Felidar, but sucks when it doesn't have Felidar. And people are well aware of the Saheeli cat combo, so they know that once you have a Saheeli down, they can just wait until you try to go off and then lightning bolts to interrupt your combo. What's to be afraid of? If they just have a Saheeli, you're not in any trouble. If you have Saheeli and follow it up with a Chariot, they can't lightning bolt that. That's just, as we said, 12 cats and a Chariot immediately. And if they just thought they were fine because, you know, they had some removal up, they're actually not fine. You're getting a huge amount of value. So you're attacking from a very unexpected angle. And I think that's actually pretty exciting.
Yeah. And like you say, we've all played Saheeli, plussed it, not drawn exactly Felidar Guardian. Like, man, like there's literally nothing else to do. I mean, minus twoing it to like copy an Omnath feels pretty bad because Omnath is likely to die to removal. So yeah, being able to target something that they can't Fatal Push, they can't Source of Plowshares, etc., and you just accrue all this value from it, like you say. It's just like another angle that this deck has to attack. And again, it's a very aggro-heavy metagame, and just the ability to play the Chariot, and it's resistant to common forms of removal. You know, they bolt a cat, you tap them both to accrue your Chariot, at least you get one block in, if necessary. So yeah, I just think it's going to add something to this deck. Obviously, it's not as powerful as Uro, which was in the slot before, but I actually think this card is underrated in terms of just raw power level.
Yeah, agreed. So we've got a few lists in front of us. I'm curious, like, what are the main things you guys want to learn from playing them?
I've never cast a Cherry in my life. I am curious to kind of see David's most recent comment that the card is just fundamentally high powered. And if you double down with synergies with it, that it becomes, you know, extra powered. I want to see how that works out. You know, is this card really creating a board presence that's meaningful, that drives you towards winning games? Or is it a board presence that's kind of quickly overwhelmed by your opponent, you know, going over the top or killing you in other ways altogether?
Yeah, I think that's the question I have too. I can easily convince myself of why this is a great use of four mana, but I'm not sure like how that will actually line up with just like what other decks are trying to do. I mean, four mana is a lot in Modern. In Pioneer, it's not that much, but you might find yourself like caught in the middle of other decks either just going even bigger or again going underneath you. So I'm curious to like see whether the style of value that the Chariot provides on four is enough to like sort of be meaningful in both those styles of games.
Yeah, so I think that's why I'm excited that we're trying a deck that's sort of like a turbo Chariot, for lack of a better word, where we're using it as like a super aggro, like almost a faux combo piece with the Saheeli, the list that you've already tried and you know, you've got some great ideas to iterate on. And then playing the best cards in Pioneer and just saying like, this is actually just a reasonable card to do on straight up power level. Like Thoughtseize is one of the better cards in the format. Fatal Push is one of the better cards in the format. Sylvan Caryatid is one of the better cards in the format.
Oh yeah, it's like
I'm saying Asika's Chariot on four is just like, it's not at that level, but it's just that one level down. It's one of the better four mana threats. I'd much rather play it than other cards I thought were better than something like Questing Beast or something like that.
Yeah, you gotta feel good about shuffling up a deck for a Pioneer League that contains, yeah, as David said, four Thoughtseize, four Push, four Caryatid, and a sideboard Urien.
Yeah, and can we survive without blue, right? A lot of these lists, this is basically like the quote-unquote like mid-range Sultai list that we were playing. Sultai Delirium, we all know about. We're not playing counter spells. You know, we are going to rely on black to be disruptive to people's hands. And is that going to be good enough? That's another interesting question.
Yeah, my most recent leagues were generally people trying to kind of play to the board and kill me with relatively low curves. But of course, Pioneer has a ton of decks that are trying to do the opposite and go way over you. So we'll see if these Chariot lists can come under them and give them too many cats for them to handle.
Yeah, maybe by this time next week, we'll be saying, I am playing Saheeli Cat combo, and people will be like, oh, which one? That's the dream. Excited to try these lists out. I can't wait. These look awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Damon, take us home.
Yeah, well, until next week, may your two cats crew your chariot and give you more tokens. That doesn't really work in real life, does it? Never mind. I guess that works for Dan. Not for the rest of us. But we will be out there in the queues doing that exact chariot maneuver.
Hope to see you all there. Take care. That's a wrap on episode 15 of Kaldheim Season. Tune in next week for our testing results with Asika's Chariot. And download the latest decklist at faithlessbrewing.com. Support for this podcast is provided by brewers like you. If you like what we do, be sure to join our community at patreon.com/faithlessbrewing for Discord access, bonus content, and much more. That's all for today. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time.